So today's daf is daf Samach Ches. We had gotten up to Samach Zayin Amud Beis, but let's start again at the two dots on the bottom. I'm sorry, at the one dot at the bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. Kufa, we learned before. Amar Rav Ada Bar Ahava. Rav Ada Bar Ahava explained the reasoning of Rabbi Yehoshua. Omer Haya Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua's opinion is like this. Ola Sa'of, if there's a bird that is made holy to be an Ola offering. So an Ola offering should be on the ledge, should be above the red string. It should be the severing entirely of the head with Malika. It should be just squeezing of blood on the altar, but above the red string. And this bird that was made holy as an Ola offering, Sha'asala Mata, it was taken below the red string, and there it was done kemas achatas, like a chatas, with only one pipe being cut in the malika, and the blood being thrown and squeezed, and it was done l'shem chatas, for the sake of chatas, kevan shemalak basimen echad, once one pipe was severed, it becomes a chata sa'of. And since it's a chata sa'of, so a chata sa'of, once the service is done of the blood, there's no me'ila in it, because now it's not kodesh Hashem, it's not sacred to God. It's eaten by the Kohanim. No part of it is going on to the Mizbeach anymore. So now, is this idea right, that an ola sa'of can be turned into a chata sa'of by virtue of the service of the Kohen? I saw an explanation of this in Rabbi Zilberstein's book. You know, when a person brings a carbon ol v'yored, let's say somebody walked into the temple by mistake when he was impure, and he realizes that he did it. So if he's rich, he brings an animal chatas. If he's poor, he brings two birds. One bird as an ola, and one bird as a chatas. If he's very poor, he brings a mincha. So why, if he's poor, does he bring two birds? If he's rich, he would only bring one animal. So let him, as poor, bring one bird. A chata sof. So the Ibn Ezra on Chumash says the following explanation. He says there are really two parts to the chatas of an animal. There are the emurim, the insides that get burned on the fire, like with certain fats. And then there's the basar, the meat that's eaten by the Kohanim. The two birds fill those roles of the two parts of the animal. The bird, which is an ola, that's to take the place of the emurim of the animal. The bird, which is a chatas, takes the place of the meat of the chatas, because the bird, which is a chatas, none of it gets burned in the mizbeach. It gets fully eaten by the kohanim. So it's like the meat of a chatas. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. So what's the Ibn Ezra saying? When you have the two birds, one an ola, the other a chatas, in a certain way, they're really parts of one carbon. The ola bird is different than a typical ola, an animal ola. An animal ola is its own carbon. But an ola bird, together with a chatas bird, are really the two halves of a bigger chatas. So that you can now understand why, if the Kohen takes this bird that was made holy with the holiness of Ola, and he treats it like a chatas, and he doesn't sever both pipes, he severs only one pipe, and he says he's doing it for chatas, it becomes chatas. Because an Ola and a chatas, if they'd be left as Ola and chatas, are really linked to each other. So now he can turn it from being an Ola into being a chatas. So now the Gemara is going to challenge this idea. Is it true that a Kohen, is this the right explanation of Rabbi Yeshua? Is it true that a Kohen who takes a bird holy with the Ola holiness and treats it as a chatas, it becomes a chatas? Yeah, question.
But I think it's two different ideas. The fact that both parts make one whole doesn't mean that the parts should be changed.
Correct, doesn't mean necessarily, but that's the chiddush here, that's the novel idea here. But that, at least it gives it some more explanation of how it can work. Yeah.
I heard a nice explanation that there's an idea of stama by birds, so you already see that there's an idea that you can not
exactly
designate, and then you can fill in the gap.
That's right.
So specific by birds.
That's right. So now, Tashma, coming here, proof from Mishnayos Kinim. Mishnayos Kinim deal with all sorts of scenarios when there's a need to bring two birds, a nest of birds, one as a chatas, one as an ola. Let's say a woman gave birth and she can't afford the animal, or a zav or a zava that become pure. And what happens when these birds get mixed up with each other? What happens in the cases of stama, as David mentioned, where the birds were made holy, but it wasn't said what's going to be an ola, what's going to be a chatas? So Tashmas, come in here, proof of the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this. A situation where you have two women, Rachel and Leah, and they buy together a nest of two birds. And they say, one of them still needs to bring a chatas, one of them needs to bring an ola. So they say, one bird, chatas lezu, one bird is going to be the chatas for Rachel, and the other bird, ola lezu, is going to be Leah's ola. Then they bring this nest over to the Kohen. And the two birds got mixed up with each other. And the Kohen now doesn't know what's what. He doesn't know which bird is the chatas. He doesn't know which bird is the ola. It's all confused. What did the Kohen do? For us to stay in the mala. So he takes both birds and he treats them as ola. Both birds above the red string. He severs both pipes. He cuts off the head with his fingernail. So now, mechza kasher. So one bird worked. Half of this nest worked because one woman needed to bring an ola. Umechza pasul. But the other woman who needed to bring a chatas, she didn't fulfill her obligation because what was brought as an ola can't be a chatas. Shtein lamata. Let's say since they got mixed up, the Kohen brought both birds beneath the red string. So now, as a chatas, without severing the head, with throwing and squeezing the blood. So again, mechza kasher, mechza pasul. One worked as a chatas, the other one didn't work as a chatas. So the woman who had to bring an ola, she didn't fulfill her obligation. And if he's going to do achas lamala, one he's going to treat as an ola, the achas lamata, the other one as a chatas, but they were confused. So he didn't really know what's what. So shtei and psulos, they're now both pasul. Shani Omer, because we say maybe chatas krevel lamala. Maybe the chatas was the one that was done above the red string. And maybe the ola was done beneath the red string. So asks the Gemara, what do we see here? That if he did one above and one below, both women now have to bring another bird. Nothing worked because maybe there was each one was, let's say maybe the ola was done below, maybe the chatas was done above. So 1 second, nein nami de ola kreva lamata. Even if the ola, what was really the ola, had been done below. According to the view that we just said, once it's done as a chatas, it becomes a chatas. So the woman who needs to bring a chatas, she should be okay. She should be okay. Maybe her bird was brought as a chatas. And even if her bird was not brought as a chatas, so the other woman, her partner's bird, was brought as a chatas. So it was an ola which became a chatas. The other woman has no need for a chatas. Presumably the chatas becomes hers. So Gemara says no, because Eimudam Rabbi Yeshua b'chad gavr. What did Rabbi Yeshua say? That if one person has an ola bird and his ola bird is brought as a chatas bird, it becomes a chatas. But betray gavr mi amr. Did he say that number one, that which is holy as ola can be turned into chatas and it can move from belonging to one person to belonging to somebody else? Did it belong to this woman? It belonged to the other woman. So it's not going to move over. Tashma, come and hear a proof from another Mishnah in Maseches Kinim. The Mishnah says, let's say you have a situation of two women, and each woman needs to bring three birds. One woman had to bring a nest, namely an ola and a chatas, plus another bird as an ola. So one woman has to bring two olos and a chatas. And the other woman had to bring a nest, an ola and a chatas, plus a chatas bird. So the other woman has to bring two chatos and an ola. So in total, they have to bring three birds. And they bought three nests. And they did it like this. In the first nest, they said, bird A is Rachel's chatas, and bird B is Leah's ola. So the first nest was totally specified. What each bird is for, plus who each bird belongs to. In the second nest, they had no thoughts. Stama, they said, okay, we're going to use it. They didn't say what's what. Just two birds. And the third nest, what, the question is where we're up to?
No.
The third nest was Mephoreshes. In the third nest, they said, bird A is Ola, bird B is Chatas, but they didn't say who it belongs to. They didn't say bird A belongs to Rachel and bird B belongs to Leah. So three different nests and three different specifications. Nest number one, bird A belongs to Rachel as Ola, and bird B belongs to Leah as Chatas. Nest B, not specifying who it belongs to anyone, just not specifying anything. And nest three, identifying which carbon each bird is, but not the owner of each carbon. And now these six birds are brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Now really, there's a need here of three olos and three chataos. The Kohen's famished. That's right. That's right. And Asa Kula Lamala. He did all six as olos above the chotasikra. So Mechzakasha. So half, three of them are going to be fine for the olos. Umechzapasa. Now the three chatas obligations have not been fulfilled. These are chatos done in the wrong spot. They're all puzzle. Well, those three chatos have to be now brought in from other birds. If kulalamata, if all six are done beneath the red string, mechza kasher, again, half are going to be fine. The three chatos obligations are done. Umechza pasel, and the half, which are the ola obligations, are not done. So that's no good. But now the next case. Let's say he did, he mixed them all up. Chetzin lamala v'chetzin lamata. He did three on top of the chutasikra and three below the chutasikra. In other words, he took out of each nest one bird, he made an ola, and out of each nest one bird, he made a chatas. So the only nest that worked was the stuma. So that's David's point. That if a person brings a nest of two birds into the Beis HaMikdash without saying what's the ola, what's the chatas, so this is a unique law in the laws of birds. The Kohen's actions determine what the bird becomes. So here you had nest number two hadn't been specified. The Kohen took one and he made one of these birds the ola. The other of these birds, he made a chatas. So one became an ola, one became a chatas. So fine. So that one worked fine. But all the other nests didn't work. In all the other nests, he did the same thing. He made one above and one below. But we're going to say, in nest number one, where it had been specified that A belongs to Rachel as a chatas and B belongs to Leah as an ola, we're going to say maybe he mixed it up. Maybe what he brought above was the chatas, what he brought below was the ola. And the same with nest number three.
Nest number two, does he have to know who's chatas or who's ola?
No. Mm-hmm. No, he can determine all of that.
So he can have it in mind when he does it?
Yeah.
So for somebody as a chatas,
that's right.
Off.
That's right.
So he specified which one got the chatas.
Apparently. And therefore, that middle nest, mischalekas b'neim. So each of them, remember, had to bring three birds. One had to bring two olos and a chatas. One had to bring two chatos and an ola. So each of them now has a chatas and an ola to their credit. And each of them now has an obligation still with two more birds. So one has to bring two olos, and one has to bring two chatos.
So they want some money on this partnership deal.
Yes.
How many impoverished women can be partners in a bird? Because right now we see two. Can you get 10 impoverished women to
share? Just two.
Or just two?
Yeah, was it two? Yeah. So now the Gemara asks, we learned in this Mishnah that when the Kohen takes the six birds and he does three as olos and three as chataos, so only the two birds that hadn't been specified are kosher. Everything else didn't work. Let's say nest number three, where the birds had been specified. One is an ola, one is a chatas, but they hadn't been defined as who they belonged to. Lo, that didn't work for anybody. So if Rabbi Yeshua is right, if Rav Adar Bar Ahava is right in Rabbi Yeshua, so why doesn't the nest number three not work for anyone? Nihi nami d'ola kreva lamata. Even if it's all confused and what's really an ola is being brought below. So what? Once it gets done as a chata sa'of, it should become a chata sa'of. V'chitim, if you're going to tell me, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it could become a chata sa'of. V'hatalok Rabbi Yeshua, this is against the view of Rabbi Yeshua. This Mishnah is not found Rabbi Yeshua. Umi matzas amritachi, can you even say such a thing? The Gemara is now going to go through the last Mishnah of Masechet Kinim. And we're going to see from the last Mishnah of Masechet Kinim that all of Masechet Kinim is Rabbi Yeshua. So how could you say that this Mishnah is not Rabbi Yeshua? How could you say that? So now let's go through the last Mishnah of Masechet Kinim. Tashma, come and hear a proof. The last Mishnah of Masechet Kinim. The Mishnah says like this. Ha'isha she'amra, a woman who says, Harei olai ken im eileid zachar. A woman says, I donate an entire nest, two birds, if the child coming out of me will be a boy. I want to have a boy. The child coming out is a boy. I'm going to give two birds. Now, one second. Can you ever donate a chatas? No, chatas can never be donated. So if she's saying she's donating a nest, that means she's going to donate two olos, two ola birds. Now, Yolda Zachar, she gave birth to a boy. So now, Mavia Shtei Kinim, she has to bring now two nests. Achas LeNidra, one of two olos because of her promise. V'achas LeChovasa, she has to bring the other two birds, one as an ola, one as a chatas, because as a woman who gives birth, she had Tuma. When she exits that Tuma, she has to bring the two birds. So she has to bring a total of three olos and one chatas. So she brings these four birds, the two nests. This nasa la kohen, she gives it to the kohen. What the kohen should be doing, hakara kohen tzarech la'asosan shalosh lemala. He should make one nest, two birds, olos. And then out of the second nest, he should make a third ola. V'achas lemata, and one out of the second nest, he should make a chatas beneath the red string. And what happens if the Kohen didn't do that? And instead, Asa Shtaim L'malo Shtaim L'mata. He thought the two nests are both nests of obligations. He thought she had given birth, plus she had been a Zava. So he thought that she needed two olos and two chatos, not three olos and one chatos. So out of the first nest, he offered one ola, and then he made the other one a chatas beneath the red string. And out of the second nest, he offered one as an ola, and the second one as a chatas. Lo nimlach, he didn't ask her to find out that really one nest is a nedava and it's two olos. He just brought it as one ola and one chatas. So now, tzricha shetavi od preda achas v'takrivena lamal. She has to bring another bird as an ola, because she had an obligation of three olos, and only two olos were brought on her behalf. Now this is, she only has to bring one bird if mimin echad. if all the nests that she brought, the two nests that she brought, were all, let's say, Torim, or were Bnei Yonah. So she had brought all as Torim, and what should have been would have been three Torim brought as Olos, and one Tor brought as Achatas. Instead, two Torim were brought as Olos for her, so she has to bring another Tor. Pigeon. Ben Yonah is a turtle dove. But if she brought two nests, and they're from two different types of birds, Mishnei Minim, one nest, which she had wanted to be the two Olos, was Torim. The other nest, which was supposed to be an Ola Nachatas, was Bnei Yonah. And he messed it up. Instead of bringing the two Torim as Olos, he brought one Tor as an Ola, and one Tor as a Chatas. So now, Tavishtai, she now needs to bring two birds.
One pigeon
and one turtle dove.
Why does that matter?
Because that's one of the laws. We learned in Maseches Kinim that if you're supposed to bring a pigeon, if you had brought a pigeon, you can't replace it with a turtle dove. If you brought a turtle dove, you can't replace it with a pigeon. So whatever, every nest, every pair of an ol and a chatas has to be of a single consistent type. And here she brought two nests. So the Kohen, the first nest, the Kohen made one an Ola, one a Chatas. Out of the second nest, let's say the second nest was supposed to be her vow. And it was messed up. Right? Maybe let's say the second nest was supposed to be her vow. It was supposed to be two Olos. And he made one of them into a Chatas. So, you know, if there are two different types, so this became possible, she has to replace it. We don't know which one was the first nest and the second nest. It all got confused. As Roger said, the coin got famished. So if it all got confused, she has to bring two. Now let's say, when she made the two nests, Persha Nidra, she said in her vow of the two Olos, that it's going to be from Torah. And now she doesn't remember what she said. And it all got confused. And only two were brought as Olos. So Tzvifa Lahavi Od, Shalosh Predim. Now she has to bring three birds. Mimin Echad. That's all if both sets were of the same type, but she got confused about it. But if Mishnei Minim, but if the two nests that she brought were from the two different types, one nest was Torim and the other nest was Bnei Yonah, and it's no longer known what was brought first, what was brought second, and we don't remember, and she doesn't remember which one she had made the Olos, which one she had made the normal nest. Tavi Arba, she now needs to bring four birds, two Torim and two Bnei Yonah, all as Karbanos Ola. We don't know which nest was brought as the Olos, which nest was the Olos and brought in the wrong way. We don't know if it was the nest of Torim or the nest of Bnei Yonah. So we don't know what she has to fulfill. A Tor or a Ben Yonah. We also don't know if what was brought for the Neder. Right? We don't know what was brought here. Right? Maybe the wrong thing was brought. So she has to, you know, cover all of the bases. She has to bring two new nests. One nest is two Torim, and one nest is two Bnei Yonah. And she has to make a condition. She has to say, if I was originally obligated in Torim as my neder, and what was brought was the two Torim as my neder, So one of these Torim is going to take its place. And the other Torah is going to be a Nedava. And if what I really had to bring was Torim, but what was brought for my nether were Bnei Yonah, then both of these Torim are going to be my neder. And if I had to bring Bnei Yonah, and what was brought was Bnei Yonah, and one Ben Yonah was possible because it was done as a chata, so then one of these Ben Yonahs is going to be the to replace it. And if what was brought were the Torim, and I really, it was obligated Bnei Yonah, both of these are the Bnei Yonahs. And if, in addition, Kava Nidra, she said, I'm going to bring a nest. With the nest that I have to bring for my birth, I'm going to bring a nest as a neder, as a gift. And she specified what it was, that she was going to bring a nest of Torim. And now she forgot what it was. So now she has to bring Tzricha Shetaviot Chamesh Predim. Now she needs to bring another 5 birds as an Ola Lemala, above. Mimin Echad. That's as long as she had only brought one type. And if what she had brought were Shnei Minim, were 2 types, Tavisheh, she now has to bring 6 birds. What's that? It keeps getting more and more. That's right. And if this woman who had promised 2 olos and specified what it was going to be, and she doesn't remember anymore, and the snasan la kohen, she gave it to the kohen, v'eini yodas ma nasna, and she doesn't know what she had given to the kohen. And the Kohen offered things. He doesn't even know what he did. He doesn't know if he did all of them as chatos. He doesn't know if he did all of them as olos, if he did half and half. Maybe she did not fulfill anything. So, right? Maybe he brought them all as chatos. So then the 3 olos that are required weren't done at all. Maybe they were all done as olos. The 1 chatas that's required wasn't done at all. So now Tzricha Arba Predos. She has to bring 4 birds as olos, 2 Torim and 2 Bnei Yonah, Lenidra, to cover the options, whatever the neder was. And she has to bring Shtayim Lechovasa. She has to bring another 2 birds to cover the obligation of an Ola. That would be 2 Torahs and 2 Ben Yonahs. I'm sorry, 1 Torah and 1 Ben Yonah as an Ola, to cover the Ola of obligation. Because maybe the obligation was the Ben Yonah, maybe the obligation was the Torah. And then she has to bring a Chatas, Achas. She also has to bring a Chatas. Because maybe everything was done above, because the coin doesn't remember what he did. So she needs a chatas. Now this chatas apparently can be brought from anything. It doesn't have to be a tor or a ben yonah. It doesn't have to be both a tor and a ben yonah. Because her chatas maybe was pasul, and if her chatas was pasul, she can replace it with a bird from anything. That's right.
She's got her husband Amrati the veteran, so she reduces. Right. He's going to be angry when she comes home saying any more.
You can only revert. You can only undo nedarim that affect him. You can't undo.
She should go to a rav. Yeah, listen, I'm broke. I'm into 7 birds already. Help me out.
That's right, 7 birds.
By the way, the same thing can happen.
Yeah,
postpartum
that
makes
you crazy.
Gemara new. Ben Azay Omer Shtei Chatos. Ben Azay says she has to bring two birds. A Torah Zachatos and a Ben Yonah Zachatos. So, you see that from what started as a small thing, a vow and her giving birth, became a huge thing. Lots of birds that she had to bring. So the Mishnah gives an example of like this. Amru Yeshua Zeu Shamru, this is what we say about a ram. Kishu Chai Kol Echad. When the ram is alive, you only get one sound out of it. But once it dies, you get lots of sounds out of it. From the horns, you make a shofar. From, you know, some other bone, you make a flute. From the two thighs. From its skin, you make a drum. From its, insides, you can make, something like a bagpipe. From, sinews, you can make out of it a harp. You can make seven instruments out of the ram. Kishumeis kolo shiva. Now, this Mishnah is the view of Rabbi Yoshua. This Mishnah is following the view of Rabbi Yoshua. So, if that's the case, right, because according to this Mishnah, so now once we have this Mishnah being the view of Rabbi Yeshua,
what does that statement mean towards the birds?
What's that?
What does this statement about the ram mean?
That a small thing, what starts as something small, ends up becoming a lot. So Rabbi Yeshua is the one saying it, right? I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, Zeu Shamru, this is what we say, Kishu Chai, when the ram is alive, Kolo Echad, you only get one sound out of it. Kishu Meis Kolo Shiva, when it dies, it gets seven sounds out of it. So here you have Rabbi Yoshua. He's the author of this Mishnah. He's the one who's explaining the whole Mishnah. So you see Rabbi Yoshua as the author of the Mishnayos of Kenan. So now let's go back to where we had asked a question. He said, according to Rabbi Yoshua, if Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava is right, so why in the case of the three nests, nest number three being a mefureshes, do we say it didn't work? Why didn't it work? The chatas obligation should have worked. If the bird that had been specified as chatas was brought as chatas, so that worked. And even if the one specified as ola was brought as chatas, it became a chatas. So Gemara says an answer. Where does Rabbi Yeshua say that an ola bird can turn into a chatas bird in regard to it no longer having me'ila? And since it was done below, it becomes a chatas. It's no longer kachi Hashem. It's not sacred to God. If it's a chatas, it's eaten by Kohanim. So there's no me'ila to it. But did he ever say that if it was turned from an ola to a chatas, it'll count as a chatas for somebody's obligation? That he never said. And that would resolve that question. Okay. Now moving on for some more laws about the offerings of birds. Yeah, three prakim of Mishnayos. That's right. Kolab Sulim. All people who can't do service in the Beis Hamikdash. Shemalku, if they did malika on a bird, malika sam psula, the malika is no good. However, if the bird had a malika, a carbon bird had a malika, even though the malika was no good, it is good enough that if somebody were to eat from the meat of this bird, he wouldn't have tumas nevela, through the tum of nevela of a bird that wasn't killed through shechita. And now, laws of different disqualified malikas. Malak basmol, he did the malika not with the right thumbnail, but with the left thumbnail. Or balayla, he did the malika at night. Or shachat chulin bifnim, he took a bird and it wasn't holy even. and he slaughtered it with a knife in the Beis HaMikdash. Or he took a bird, Chachim Bachutz, and he slaughtered it with a knife outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's certainly no good. But nevertheless, in all of these cases, with these Shchitos, with these Malikos, Einan Metamos Beveis HaBliya, they're not going to create, they're not going to make the bird that was killed in this way have Tumas Nevelas Ov, that if somebody eats it while he's eating it, he becomes Tumit. The reason why is that the Malikos that were no good were good enough that if they're put on the Mizbeach, they don't come down. So since they were somewhat good, that's enough to remove Tumas Beis HaBliya. And then the case when there was a shechita of a bird that was holy outside or a bird that's not holy inside, there's a shechita. So since there's a shechita, it's not in the Vela Softar. All right. What about, though, if he takes a bird which is holy and Malak Besakin, he does Malika with a knife. He cuts the bird from the back of the neck with the knife. Or he takes something which is not holy, and instead of doing shechita on it, he takes a regular pigeon, it's not it hasn't been consecrated at all, he does malika with his thumb in the azara. Or he does malika on kachim, bachutz, outside of the azara, which is not a malika. Or toren, he takes these young pigeons, shaloi giyazmana, that aren't old enough yet, or bnei yona, turtle doves, which are too old, shavar zman. Remember, bnei yona have to be very young, and toren have to be old. So he brought these birds that are past their time or pre their time. Or he takes a bird, shayav shagapa, that her wing dried out. So there's a balasmu, or nismas eina, or her eye has been punctured, or shenikta ragla, or her foot was cut off. In all these cases, it wasn't a kasha malika, and therefore the bird that was killed through this malika is metama bevei sablia. It's tas tumas nevela. And if somebody eats it, while he's eating it, he would become tummy. Zakal is the rule. Kol shepsulo bakodesh. Let's say the service was right. Basically, it should be okay. But because of a law of kachim, it was disqualified. Then it's not going to create tumah if somebody eats it. But if the bird is disqualified, shlo yapsula bakodesh, the psul is before, it's not just because of what's happening in the mikdash. Then it is tamei when a person eats from it. That's the rule of this Mishnah. So ask the Gemara. Amar Rav, Rav said, let's take the case of the Mishnah, towards the beginning of the Mishnah. He took a bird that was holy, and instead of doing the Malika by day, he did the Malika at night. Or he did the Malika with his left hand. So then we say, Psula Bakodesh, basically it would be okay. The Malika, if this bird is put on the Mizbeach, you don't take it down. So now if you eat from it, there wouldn't be any Tumah in the swallowing. So Amar Rav, Rav says, a bird where it was, the malika was done with small, with the left hand, or a bird where the malika was done laila at night, ein matam vevei sablia, like the Mishnah said, if somebody eats from those birds, while they're swallowing it, they don't become tummy. But what happens if you have a bird where a non-kohen does the malika, zar, or sakin, or instead of the kohen using his thumbnail, the kohen used a knife. So then mitam bevei sablia. So then, as we learned in the Mishnah, it would create tumah when eating from it. So why is the malika of a zar different than a malika by the left hand or a malika at night? So maishna smol. Why, if the malika was done with the left hand, we say it's still a malika. If it go onto the mizbeach, it wouldn't come down, and therefore there's no tumah bevei sablia. De islay hechsheir biyom kippurim, because apparently left hand is not always a problem, because sometimes there is service done with the left hand, and that's the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol does the service of Ketores, he has to take the coals in his right hand. He takes the spoon of the Ketores into the left hand, with the left hand, and he's walking it in. So he's walking in Ketores, that's a service, and he's doing it with the left hand. So since the left hand is not always a psul, that's why b'diyeved, if a bird was maluk with the left hand, if it goes onto the mizbeach, it doesn't come down. One sec. Oh, good, good, right? All of these are good questions, right? V'layla, why with night? Also, islay. Hechsheira, sometimes night is okay. Be'var mupdarim. Let's say the limbs of an ola, the fats of other karbanos, you can bring them at night. If that's the case, then why do you say that if a non-Kohen does the malika, the bird is now tamei b'tumas beis space of Leah? Because if it go on the mizbeach, it would be removed. Why would it be removed? Zar nam, even a non-Kohen, islech sheir b'shchita. But sometimes the non-Kohen can also do a service. He can slaughter. So the Gemara says back, shchita lavavoda. Slaughtering is not an avoda. You never find avoda can be done with a non-Kohen. Asks the Gemara v'lo, shchita is not called avoda. V'amar Reb Zeira. But Reb Zeira said, shchita's para, this week's parsha, slaughtering para aduma bizarre by a non-Kohen psula. If a non-Kohen would do the slaughtering of the para aduma, it would be pasul. Umachvi ravala. And Rav explained why, because the pasuk says in this week's parsha, "Nasatim osa lelazar kohen, give the paraduma to Elazar the kohen. V'otzi osa mechutz lamachane, he'll take it out of the camp. V'shachat osa lefanav, and it'll be slaughtered before it. And then the Torah says, "Zos chukah satorah, it's a chukah. So if it's a chukah, this is the way it has to be. The kohen has to do the slaughtering." So if a shechita is not an avoda, why can't a zar do the slaughtering? See, shchita is an avoda. So the Gemara gives Roger's answer. Shiny para aduma is different. The kad shebeda kabayasi. It's not really a karban. It doesn't have the holiness of the body of an animal that's a karban. It's holy to run the temple. It's part of the temple trust. That's not considered an avoda. So the Gemara says, one second, below kol dechenu. Let's make a kol shekein. So if Kadshe Bede Kabayis, a paraduma needs a coin for the slaughtering. Kadshe Mizbeach, when you have karbanos, which are holy for the Mizbeach, Mibaya, certainly they should need a coin for the slaughtering. Am Rav Sheshe Bred Rav Idi, Rav Sheshe, the son of Rav Idi, said, no, paraduma might need a coin. We need to have Yamaris the gut, just like you need a coin to identify what is tzaras. The lava avoda, that's not an avoda, and yet Bari Kuna needs a coin. So too with the slaughtering of para aduma. It's not an avoda, but you need a coin. But avodos maybe need kohanim. Gemara says, v'nelith, mibama. So why don't we say that malika with a non-coin is going to be b'dievet okay, from the fact that when they had bamos, malika of birds at that point was allowed with non-kohanim. There's a pasuk for that. So my answer is, mi bama lo yalef. We don't learn out from bamos to when we had a beis hamikdash and we had a mizbeach. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow. Thank you.